let us on a gorgeous Tuesday afternoon. Hop on the 7 line, cruise down to Morton Street, into the Fernandez Plaza we go. City Hall, the doors are open. Why? Well, you let a little air in. It's nice outside. And there he is, the mayor of the city of Bloomington. It's John Hamilton. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
Good afternoon. It's been a little while. Nice to catch up with you.
It is. And wherever you have been, thanks for bringing back this incredible November weather we've been enjoying here. That we are now, well, we've always been called the Riviera of the Big Ten here in the South, but here the November, we've had one day in November under 54 degrees. One day.
Wow.
One.
Wow.
So yeah. Wow. Let's in. And that was the first day of November. Ever since then, it's been 54 or better. 3 days, 75 or better. And all week this week is going to be very nice as well. Where the heck have you been? Gee whiz.
You're gonna make all those trick-or-treaters are going to be regretting. It was kind of cold that night, wasn't it?
That was freezing. It was freezing on trick in my candy haul. My son has a broken foot, and we had 40. Oh. It was, 30-something degrees that night. So I've never seen a terrible yield. It was an
no.
All. Well, because my 13-year-old, she's not going to go out and trick-or-treat. No way. So
but
I used
that
to,
mean you just keep more of the stuff you had, like you had fewer people come by?
No, because know. Everybody no. would come by and just, you're not going to stand
rack
out there. Go ahead and take it.
All right.
Get it away from me. But yeah, so this is my, a terrible. You sound like me. Quit coughing. What are you
doing? Sorry, I know. I came back. I had a little something this past week, but, well, yeah.
How long did it last? I'm on day 5 and I'm annoyed right now, but I'm getting feisty, so I know it's going away.
Yeah, that's good. I felt bad for 2 days, but the cough has lasted for like 5. You're right. So I'm
great.
Hoping.
Great.
I feel fine. I just sound like crud. So
join the club. It's perfect.
You
and
but
I.
I'm not a radio guy, thankfully. That's harder for you.
Well, we can only play the cards we are dealt. And in my new optimism, glass half full. The good news is at least it's not Thanksgiving week where we're dealing with this. So
there you go.
I'm trying to find the upside here.
Well, we had Election Day and
oh
I was gone for a week, and then I think you were gone. I missed you for another week in there too, didn't I?
Yes, you did. So it's been a while. And first of all, let's start with a deep breath. Okay, here we are. We are in November. Doing some quick math, and this is just quick math. You have six. You have 6 weeks. That's it. That's all
seven.
That's left.
Seven.
Okay, seven.
Yeah.
So okay,
7 weeks.
7 weeks.
Magic seven.
All right.
It's
now
be good.
It's official. Kerry Thompson will be your replacement.
Mayor-elect. Yep.
Figured that out. When does the official transition of power take place? And in these 7 weeks. What do you do up into this point? I'm terribly interested to hear how this transition works.
Yeah, well, it'll be a lot smoother than some we've seen at the federal level, I'll tell you that. But under Indiana state law, I serve until midnight, December 31st, and at the stroke of midnight, the new mayor becomes the custodian and takes over the reins. So right in midnight on New Year's Eve is when the official change happens. She'll be sworn in, typically officially, kind of ceremoniously, at about noon, usually on New Year's Day. But she actually takes the job at midnight.
That's when you hand her the football, right? All the nuclear codes and everything.
Get the helicopter keys and the football, all that stuff. Yeah, right.
But in these 7 weeks, though, it's a little more complicated than just boxing up your office and moving out.
We've been meeting already, and particularly my deputy mayor, Larry Allen, who you know well, of course, is regularly meeting with staff, designees of the mayor-elect. I've talked with her election night, and we haven't met in person for a little while, but I've offered to do that anytime, and there's a lot of dialogue going on, and she's doing a lot of planning, and that will continue over the next few weeks.
What hiccups do you remember 8 years ago when you took over in the transition that you're trying to have her avoid?
You know, I think when we took over, there was quite a bit of overlap. I had the same controller, and as you know, Mick Renison, well, he was a really strong source of continuity over things. And so, you know, the main thing is trying to make sure you have enough people who know, how to unlock a door and fill out a form. But you know, look, the police department keeps running, the fire department keeps running, the sanitation department keeps running, the parks department keeps running, the water company keeps running, all those things are individual operations that will keep running. But the mayor, you know, she's going to come in and look around on day one and say, okay, here we go, hang on. And then she'll call you on day two, maybe, and you'll
that'd be great.
You know, run her through it, you know.
I hope you put in a good word for me.
You bet it. You bet I will.
All right. I appreciate that. Because that is interesting. What does happen in that first week? And I know I'm getting way ahead of things here, but I just find it interesting. What is required by law to be done? Is there anything? Is it just literally the transfer of power? That's it? Or does the state require these certain boxes to be checked?
No, it's mostly... You have to be sworn in. Your deputy mayor needs to be sworn in. You have to have a controller under state law and a corporation council, so you'll want to have them designated. There's a lot going on in city council. Typically, at the very beginning of the year, they're picking their leadership. They're setting their agendas. You've got to start payroll and make sure all that's good. A lot of what you typically will be doing at the beginning is personnel and policy issues. A lot of it will be getting up to speed and a lot of meetings saying, no, wait a minute, I didn't know we're doing that. Are we doing that? Do we do that every week? But it's exciting, and the city's in a really good space and place, and a lot of exciting momentum happening. And so a lot of it is just kind of catching the wave, you know, maybe picture yourself on a board and you're on the wave and you just got to stay in balance and moving forward and figuring out which direction you're going to cut left or right as you move ahead.
Well, similarly to your situation, well, I've said it out loud. Now I've got to just, where it if I'm wrong. She has not been in city government or local government. So this is kind of new to her. You were in that same boat, is that right?
I had served on the school board, and I had served quite a bit in state government, but I had not served in city government. I'd led a couple state departments, but that's right. She's, I don't think, been in government directly in that way before, so that'll be new, and she'll need a bunch of people around her. But make sure you get good people around you. That's the main thing.
That's it. Anything you do in life, doesn't matter if it's government or whatever else. You surround yourself with great people, and usually good things will happen. Anything else from the election day last Tuesday? Results, lead up, anything else catch your eye?
Well, you know, I'm really pleased. We've talked about it was a very close election, but the referendum went through by one percentage point. So I think that's really important for the community. I'm glad, you know, it was closer than some of us wanted, but a victory is a victory. So that's going to be really important for the city, helping fund particularly pre-K work for four-year-olds and a lot of three-year-olds, which is a huge thing for those kids, getting them ready for school. It's also a huge thing for their families. The state of Indiana is one of the few states that does not really directly and strongly support pre-K like that. So being the community that does it is going to be an advantage to us, I think. And then the only other thing I'd mention is, you know, the mayors of Indiana are not the most diverse group you've ever looked at. If you lined us all up in a room like they do at the Indianapolis 500 every May. But last Tuesday, the mayors of Indiana got significantly more diverse with women and people of color, and that was good to see, including, you know, Bloomington and Columbus both went from a male white mayor to female mayors. And then we have a man of color at Terre Haute and a new mayor of Evansville, a young African-American woman, and Lawrence, there's a lot more diversity. It looks more like Indiana now, and that's good.
Excellent. And the election now in the rear view mirror. We still have stuff to do before the end of 2023. Let's start with the CIB. I'm going to talk to Eric Spoonmore next Monday, so I'll get the inside scoop there. Where are you guys on interlocal agreement? What other barriers are up that perhaps need to be hurdled before we change the calendar to 2024?
I think we're in really good shape. I've got an interlocal to sign on my desk, and we need four entities to endorse it: mayor, city council, county commissioners. I expect to do that very shortly, and I think city council has it on their agenda for tomorrow night, And then we hope county will move quickly. And the interlocal, we've talked about it a bunch. I don't want to dig too deep into details, but it does the most important thing that I thought, which you and I have talked about, which is try to keep it clean enough and simple enough for the CIB to do a good job of design and build and not get distracted by too many other things and not get overwhelmed by red tape and layers of approval. So it basically sets up the CIB to work with the city council. City council has the money, CIB has the plans and the property to build the unit. And then after that's done, it kind of rolls into a more complicated, multi-layered approvals and operations and all that stuff. But it lets them focus on building a great project, which is what I think is so key.
Is this to streamline everything? Is that what
would
be for?
Yep. Okay. I think that's fair.
And obviously that they have now their seventh member on.
Yep.
Can you remind me who that is? I wrote it down.
Jim Silverstein.
Gotcha.
Is their seventh member.
And it's Silberstein, not Silverstein, like the
I believe it's Silberstein.
Correct, yes, because I tried Googling the other one. That did not work. And well, I just didn't find – I thought it would jump right off the page. Not where the sidewalk ends, but someone who's been around and involved in everything else. So how important is that piece to be there? And what happens now that when the calendar does turn to – you have appointments that go where?
So the CIB has seven people. You know, they got a lot of work to do, and it's good agenda in front of them. The city and the county each have to file our reports by December 1st, so that's not too far away. With the state, remember they made us tell them what we're going to do with the money, the food and beverage money. So we'll each be doing that, and then it'll be up to the CIB to kick into gear, start hiring people, hiring plans, working with city council to develop funding opportunities for that.
Never a dull moment, and now we've got it all up and moving along.
You asked about appointments. Several of the appointments do expire in January, but I think we've all kind of talked together about making sure that continuity is there. So
gotcha. That's just a procedural. That's not something you guys came up with. That's just how it works.
The county set it up that way.
Gotcha.
But then they get on staggered two-year terms after that.
Okay. So that's not all. Yeah, you wouldn't want to wash everybody out at once.
Right.
That wouldn't make any sense moving forward. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. Your travel agent has been busy as well. You've been in the Caribbean. You've been down in Central America. I don't know if people in Bloomington remember that because we heard so recently about the sibling city of Palo Alto that we do have sister cities. When were those developed? That was back in the 80s, 90s?
So, yes, we've had sister cities for about three decades. 35 years, I think, was the first one, which was Posoltega, Nicaragua, back in the late 80s. And then in the late 90s, Santa Clara, Cuba was added. Those are all long before I got into all this stuff. But there are two sister cities. And actually, Mike, we've had residents of Bloomington going back and forth all those years. We've had dozens of visits from our community, the people of our community, to the people of those communities. I, however, as far as we can tell in our records, am the first sitting mayor to do so. So I felt, and I'll tell you why in a moment, but I felt it was useful and appropriate for me, kind of with those others and that history of all that interaction, to go there. And the particular reason was Posoltega in Nicaragua, 25 years ago, October 30th, so just a couple weeks ago, had a terrible natural disaster, which many of us don't remember, didn't hear about, but a Hurricane Mitch dumped so much rain that a huge mudslide wiped out 2,000 people, maybe 3,000, they still don't know how many. And this was the 25th anniversary memorial of that, and I thought it would be appropriate for us as a city to be there shoulder to shoulder with them. So we took a delegation, and it was meaningful and powerful to see their recovery.
And these being a sister city happens how? I know these didn't happen under your watch, but is there a process? You fill out a form? Talk about the
there is actually.
You talk about people from our community going back and forth to these communities. There has to be some connection somewhere, I would think.
So President Eisenhower started all this back in the 50s as a way, you think about the Cold War and the relationships across the world, and Eisenhower had this idea, and they implemented the idea of cities relating to each other. I'll tell you, one of the first most powerful sister city relationships is between Honolulu and Hiroshima.
Oh, I bet.
And you think about that right after World War II, those two cities kind of choosing to say, look, we got to work together and talk to each other.
Yeah, and our history is not going to be separated ever. So
right, right. So anyway, there are hundreds of these pairs now, and we have two. They do involve registering with the national sister cities program. That's not a big deal, but then it's basically up to your community how much you do, you know. And we've had dedicated and interested volunteers from both sister cities. A lot of faith-based groups have done a lot in Posoltega. They actually sent a lot of goods and money after the mudslide. They've been back and forth helping do construction and medical and student exchanges and others. And then the Cuba side, there's a group called Cuba Amistad, Friends of Cuba. That's a bunch of local folks who've been back and forth. One of the persons who went with us on this trip had been there 11 times, I think. And so it's a person-to-person exchange. And the theory is you're building peace, you're building understanding, you're just trying to create human connections, you know.
And those connections, obviously, are made and very important as history and time marches on. You're the first sitting mayor to go. Why didn't any other mayors go to your knowledge?
Yeah, it's a good question. Basically, mayors are really busy. I mean, it's hard to break away. If we hadn't had that 25th anniversary, I'm not sure I would have. I think it's probably also relevant, you know, Mike, that we have quite a growing and vibrant Hispanic community in the city. One of the people who went with us is Jimena Martinez, who's the Latino and Hispanic outreach coordinator from the city government. And so part of her job is to work with the Hispanic and Latino community here. And we have Cubans and we have Nicaraguans. And it was great for her to be able to make that connection. And I think it'll make her a stronger ally and advocate here. But you know, we're a small Southern Indiana city, but gosh, we're pretty international when you look at who's here, right? So we got people from all over the world, and I think it's a good thing. It's just mayors are busy. It's tough to make the time, but with that ceremony, I said, let's do Nicaragua. Once we were down that far, frankly, it said, well, can we swing by and do Santa Clara too? So we worked them both in within one busy week.
I'm not. I don't have the answer to this question. This is what I find fascinating. How do you get in and out of Cuba? You just give them a call and say, "Hey, we're on the way over."
No, it's a little more complicated than that. We had to work with a very experienced travel agent. And you have to have reason. And we connected with the mayor ahead of time. I met with the mayor two times down there. I met with the governor, the equivalent of the governor down there as well. You have to make those arrangements ahead of time. And I will say, we flew in and out of Miami. I was surprised. There are a lot of flights from Miami straight to several Cuban cities multiple times a day. So there is a lot going back and forth, more than I knew.
Interesting. Yeah, that's we always find it that way. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. We haven't spoken in a few weeks. What else is making big news in the city? I know you've seen some money come in for some urban tree maintenance. I know there
Love
has
that.
Been some. You're trying to get people on bikes. You're burning down Griffey. What the heck's going on over there?
We're burning down Griffey and protecting Griffey.
At the same time.
The bikes is pretty cool. So this is part of our, you know, some of this kind of, this is kind of this long-term work you do to try to keep chipping away and making progress, reducing. One of the magic measurements is vehicle miles traveled. How many vehicle miles are getting traveled in the city, particularly single occupancy vehicles? And one of the ways we know we can do that is if you get people an electric bike, they seem to like it. I don't have one.
Really?
Do you have one?
No, my buddy does, though, and he loves it. He swears.
I mean, it's more than just having a bike. The evidence, I think, suggests you use it quite a bit more than a regular bike. And so
it's a conversation starter as well.
Well, there's that, too. It's $500 for most people. Either you got to qualify, check on the website. $1,000 if you're low income to help you get an electric bike, because we believe, and we have a program that helps us advance our climate goals, to get more people in these vehicles is going to be helpful to the city and all of us in the city. So it's an effort we're starting. It gets part of the transportation demand management system, and I encourage you to check it out. It's a good time to get an electric bike.
It is, especially when the weather is this nice, 68
yeah.
tomorrow, 70 on Thursday.
Yeah.
I wish we could put that in a holding pattern. That's probably not going to be the case, but we enjoy it. We enjoy it when it is here. All right, let me see. Next week, obviously, is Thanksgiving week. We know the MCCSC will be out of school. Indiana University will be out of school as well. What is the what are your hours of operation next week?
Yep.
Just
well,
so people looking ahead can, we know the government never stops. We just
yeah,
know
you,
the front
you
doors
know that. You
aren't
know that.
Open sometimes.
But City Hall will close Thursday and Friday. Those are both city holidays. And but as you mentioned, a bunch of our people will be working every day all through the holidays. And do think about them. We got firefighters and sanitation workers and police officers and water plant operators and animal rescue folks and, you know, housing, all kinds of people working all the time. So they'll carry on through for us. But we do enjoy a little break. You and I are still talking next to you on Tuesday. I'm
well,
on Tuesday.
I'll be with you. I'll be with
all
you
right.
for sure. But I want people to know that maybe who are checking out and coming back, we're going to do the Canopy of Lights downtown a week from Friday.
Yes, sir.
It's
yes,
gonna be
sir.
Your,
we will be. My
your voice needs to get
up there.
Your voice needs to rest up for that. So
I do. I have to prepare for that. And Alejandro, our director, won't be there this year because he moved, I think, to Nebraska or somewhere. But we'll make it through, and I'm sure we're going to get Santa there again. So it'll be fun. I'm going to look for you in the crowd again this time.
I will. Now that you know what I look like, it'll be easier
I
to
know,
spot me.
I know. I'm going to find you.
Who's that wild guy waving at me? Well, it's just me. The extended forecast, and I don't like to get too carried away into these, but pushing 50 a week from Friday,
ooh.
So there's nothing wrong with that. It will be, we are in the 50s all next week until Thanksgiving Day, which is 45, and then...
Well, that's a good football weather outdoors.
Oh, perfect.
Right.
And then 48. Yeah. We don't want it too warm or too cold on the Canopy of Lights because it's just,
yeah,
you don't want to be out there in flip-flops.
It doesn't feel right if it's, you know, I agree, and... we need some freezing weather to get rid of these germs too, don't
That's
we?
It.
I think that'd be good.
We'll start tonight with that, or a Friday night gets down to 28. I know. That,
all right, so. That's good. We
all right, well,
that.
You feel better. I know you got to get those vocal cords rested up and ready to go. It's good to have you back. It's a busy time of the year. And I'm glad you're going to be with us next Tuesday. That's exciting as well. Then we'll get everybody updated on all the great benefits for businesses, holiday markets. We got all
great
that
parking.
Fun stuff.
We got
oh,
that
there you go.
Coming up soon. You know, that'll be going as we do. And there's some good sports. That was pretty exciting soccer stuff, too.
Yeah, that was great.
There's a lot of good stuff happening. So in our high school football, right? They got
yep,
Bloomington
they have
this
South
weekend.
On Friday. Yep, we've had
a lot going on.
And then basketball's right around the corner. We'll have our first high school game on our airwaves next Tuesday when you join us. We'll have Edgewood at Bloomington South. That's our hardwood opener. So, yeah, the confluence of all the seasons melding together.
It's a fun time in Bloomington. It really is.
It is.
And I hope people will enjoy the holidays. I look forward to it. And I'll look forward to talking to you next Tuesday.
All right, great to have you back. Thank you again for your time, as always. Thanks to all your subs that came on and popped up as well. We'll talk to Larry Allen on Thursday in case you drop any 5 o'clock news releases on me here on a Tuesday
it
afternoon.
Sometimes happens. Not your fault.
That does
Not
happen sometimes.
Fault.
I've noticed that. All right, buddy. Yeah. Feel better, and I'll talk to you soon.
You too. Take care.